Welcome to The Road to Online Retail, the podcast that explores the ever-evolving world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Nigel Miller, and with me today is my subject matter expert, Kevin Moore, a shopper experience expert. Kevin, introduce yourself.
Thank you, Nige. Yes, well, see, it's been a while since we chatted on this, but there's so much happening in the world of physical and online retail that the timing is perfect. In fact, I was just saying to Nige listeners that as of today, I transit through my 19th airport in 28 days across America and Australia. So looking at different stores, amazing stuff. I've been to the American Dream Mall in New Jersey. See what's happening in Dallas-Fort Worth with a new Toys R Us store, what's happening within Macy's in their key stores. And shortly I'll be up in the UK looking at the new Toys R Us store in stores in WH Smith High Streets. So really, there's a lot going on. The Toys R Us brand's now in Mexico, just been relaunched, and into Iberia as well, so Portugal and Spain. Lots going on. And all, Nige, a blend of physical and digital. So what do we call physical and digital together, Nige? What do we call it?
That's the word I have trouble with.
Fidgetal. Perfect.
Okay, but just before we dive into that, for the listeners who haven't ever heard us, or viewers even, because we're now doing video as well on our YouTube channel, if you haven't come across us before, we better quickly introduce ourselves and explain why Kevin's talking about Toys R Us. First of all, I'll just go back a little bit. So I'm a video producer director, and many years ago, I first met Kevin when I was producing a television series about small businesses. And we used to find a small business, and I would find experts to help them. And Kevin was one of the experts I brought in to help a small retail outlet. And that's when we first got together. And then after a few years of working together, Kevin wanted all his wonderful blogs put into a website. And we came up with the idea of actually creating a online retail course. Kevin, over to you.
Yes, so I'd been bouncing around retail for a long time. I'd very honored to have met Paco Underhill when he wrote While We Buy and took him for dinner in Colorado Springs to say thank you for what he'd done to our industry. He still remains the physical retail guru. At that point, I was walking about 2,000 stores a year around the world, working with Apple, launching their products into retail in Australia. We built a company with about 2,500 people who are retail marketing experts. So immersed completely in that area. And then Nigel and I did get together. I was doing stuff on Channel 7 in Australia with Nigel. His production company was doing it. And we did quite a few, actually. We did a retail makeover of a whole town, a small country town as well, a place called Wingham. We then went on to get on board huge, massive open learning. And we started to launch very good, I believe, because Nigel, this is Nigel, not me. We started to develop very good online training resources for small retailers. And I think as of today, almost 7,000 people around the world have done our courses, Nigel?
Yep, almost 7,000. And interestingly enough, our key market is actually India, followed by the US.
Yeah, the US is good. I get a lot of stuff from the US. We do, but I do as well from The Road to Retail. I guess the reality is, as we've moved into the online, we've done a lot of work in understanding what Shopify and our Shopify Plus does. So we've been able to provide relevant retail and online resources to small retailers. And bringing Miranda Bond on board has just changed it, transformed it.
So Miranda's our digital marketing expert, and she'll also be making a few little appearances in today's episode. We actually met up a few weeks ago and recorded a few segments for this and our subsequent podcast coming up. So Kevin, we talk about you as a shopper experience expert, but what other businesses are you involved in and where does that come in to play?
So I'm involved in a number of businesses that are all focused around the shopper, the decision maker, the customer. So I chair a digital marketing and events business out of Singapore, which operates across Singapore and Malaysia, Thailand, offices in Japan and Australia, but does business across the whole of Asia. An event now with our software, which is digital software, might be 3,000 people in hotels and venues across Asia and 24,000 people attending digitally. I also own part of a company called Digital Mavens, which is a pure integrator for Shopify Plus and a number of other platforms. So that looks at building sites and delivering sites with great shopper experience for people who are wanting to go digital. And I'm the executive chair now of Toys R Us Australia New Zealand, which operates the licenses for Australia, New Zealand, and the UK.
Before we dive into today's episode, I'll go back to where we started this podcast, and that was we called the second age of retail. And that was at the beginning of COVID, and Kevin wanted to get out to everyone the fact that there were things you could do in the world of retail, which at that point was just disintegrating, to get through COVID.
Yeah, the trigger. We knew what was happening with online, the shift over to online. It was very hard for physical retailers to be able to operate with incredibly high cost bases with retail leases. And we saw them all start to shut down stores, not open any new stores, which is incredible when you think about that. At one point, there was a Polish convenience store which was opening 8 stores a day. So the whole lifeblood of retail is about new store openings and comping and making sure you can get new shoppers in new postcodes, new zip codes. And when COVID came along, it stopped that dead. It was slowing, but it stopped it dead. But it also threatened all our small retailers because they couldn't reach their shoppers. So we went out of our way to make sure that we could give our shoppers resources and confidence to say, if you've got a physical store, let's get you onto Shopify real fast. Make sure that you can reach out to your community, do click and collect, and just try to assist. And we had some phenomenal feedback because there weren't a lot of people thinking about that. The big end of town was borrowing money from banks and getting government support, but the small end of town really wasn't getting that support. So I think it was a great thing. Nigel said, we need to reach out to people. We did. Podcasts created incredible interest. We got lots and lots of feedback from different parts of the world. And that was where we migrated the second age of retail. Well, all those beautiful experiences, physical retail experiences, we wanted to bring alive in a digital environment. And that was where Fidgetal came from. But the pendulum swung all the way over to online. And now in the third age, it swung right back to the middle, which is where it should be. A perfect blend between physical and digital retailing.
So why is it the third age of retail? What else is creeping in here?
And Miranda will give you far more around the change in AI and how we're automating the way we communicate in a way that we've done over the last 2 years, but now to an unbelievable level. But the third age, because there's absolute acceptance everywhere, even the pure online retailers are saying, if we truly want to have a relationship with our shoppers, what we need to do is we need to be able to allow them to walk into some form of physical manifestation of our brand. Yeah. So that's important. It sounds a bit long-winded, but let me say that means. It doesn't mean that you own your own stores. It means that your brand is available to allow shoppers to experience it somewhere in the countries in which you operate.
So really what we're talking about for the third age of retail is it's the fusion of physical and digital experiences.
Absolutely. You cannot operate and make normal returns for your shareholders. If your shareholders, you, if you're a family business or a sole trader, you cannot make normal returns unless you have both physical and digital. And to make it clear, investment in retail is coming back, but it's not going into new stores. It's going to refurbing existing high volume stores to make them beautiful places. I was lucky to be able to spend some time on Fifth Avenue in New York over the course of the last couple of weeks, and out at the American Dream Mall in New Jersey, which is one of the three amazing malls on the planet, all owned by the same family out of Canada. Just beautiful retailing space. But the investment that's going into those spaces to create outstanding physical retail experiences is just amazing. I mean, it truly is amazing.
But there's another thing coming in here. So if you're talking about investing in physical retail, if you're a small online business, that's a bit terrifying because, hang on, I've just got my head around the online side of things. But there's a third element that's actually leveling out the playground a little bit here, which is actually that you can do more for less with AI.
Yes, there is. But I think it's important to explain to people who have built up good online businesses that have not yet taken the step to physical manifestation. So the best example is a wonderful guy I work with. He's got this crazy little business called D-Lights. And basically, it's environmentally sensitive because it takes very high value spirit bottles, which have been emptied, cleans them. Beautiful design. Packaging design is just the backbone of all premium products. So he takes these beautiful, so monkey shoulder and bottles, and takes them and puts beautiful LED lights inside them to turn them into table settings or for wedding gifts or D-Lights. Jump online, D-Lights, out of Far North Queensland. So if you can do it in Far North Queensland, you can do it anywhere. But what he does very cleverly is 6 times a year, he goes to the markets And in his local community, he comes alive. So when he's publishing on Facebook, the fact he's going to a market, has been to a market, in that community, they go, I know where you are. I know where you're going. I'm going to buy from you. So 1 + 1 = 3. 1 + 1 = about 5 if you're that small, because you reach in a local community. It's huge. It's not just, I'm now going to open a store. I looked at a fantastic business, which is an arts and craft business, and it used to have 57 stores. It's now got none, all online. But what they have done is they've turned one part of their warehousing into a really good click and collect. It's effectively a click and collect with an impulse shop. You walk in there and you're going to pick up the $105 of craft stuff you've bought, but you walk out with $155 worth of stuff because it's there. So then the next manifestation is we see people who've been pure online retailers and they are starting to open a key store near them. So short supply lands. Yeah, they're not going to open a store 1,000 miles away. They'll open a store that's very close to their warehouse because you've got short supply lines and they can start to do things. They can clear stock in a way they couldn't before. They can add impulse product they couldn't before. But that is becoming the norm.
So the interesting thing also is the fact that big business and small business are really ending up with the same sort of tool. I think the other week we were talking about JB Hi-Fi and Shopify.
Yeah.
Shopify Premium. Explain that to me.
Yeah. So when we did our first podcast and glancing back at them, Nigel, we made the statement then our research was showing that 31% of new websites in the US were Shopify. Shopify, the community is unbelievable. There's tens of thousands of dev guys and girls who can help you. There are hundreds and hundreds of plugin apps to go in. We've just dropped Klaviyo as an AI search engine into one of our sites, and we will be moving over to Shopify Plus in the next 3 to 4 months and integrating it into our experiential center, 30,000 square foot experiential center for toys and babies. Well, yeah, it's this great flattening of the planet where we have access to the same ability to reach a shopper with technology that is available to all of us. Yeah, JB Hi-Fi, $1 billion in Australia, $1 billion of products sold through their online sites. That's through Shopify. Now, if you'd said that when we started these podcasts, Nige, never would happen. Oh, you got to build, you got to get this ERP systems and get 600 dev guys in and they're going to build this thing. It's be custom. Ah, garbage. Don't need that anymore.
I was reading one of the main motivators was because when they had Black Friday sales or what's it, the Monday ones.
Cyber Monday, yeah.
The Cyber Monday, the systems they built with the thousands of technicians couldn't cope on those days.
Locked up.
And they looked at platforms like Shopify on how come they can cope. And that's where the relationship began, I gather.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, the other hot topic we said we'd cover today is Web 3.0. Now, this isn't something I particularly know much about, but fortunately, our digital marketing expert, Miranda Bond, does. So the other week when we caught up with her, I asked her about it.
We're definitely moving into the Web3 environment, and I'm not sure if you can remember the seamless transition from Web1 to Web2, which was really where we went from kind of brochure sites to everybody having to have an online presence. We moved to a lot more interactivity, we moved to social media, and now we're moving into Web3. And what that is all about is really increased technology, which allows us to utilize digital and operate and engage in digital in new ways. So you're seeing moves towards the metaverse, you're seeing moves towards virtual reality, you're seeing blockchain technology bring on whole new tokenization, NFTs. You've got a lot of decentralization going on with things like dApps, which are apps, but now decentralized apps. So to give you an example of what one of those would be, if you think about using an app like Uber or Airbnb, you're still drawing off the centralized repository of information that brand owns. Now, it might be in the cloud or it might be on their servers, but you're pulling down content from specifically from Uber, let's say. Whereas in a dApp, you are in a decentralized model. The best way for people to think about that is, I'm sure people have had experience of streaming sites where you're going on to download some music or a movie or something like that, and you've got different seeders. And so you're actually drawing data from a decentralized network rather than one centralized place. So that's what a dApp is. And then the other element of Web3 is DAOs, which are decentralized autonomous organizations, which don't get me started on that right now. We'll talk about that later. But then, of course, the last element that is part of this new technology wave, which is taking the world by storm, is AI.
AI. Really? Does anyone really care about AI? Is it making any difference to the world? Has anyone ever heard of ChatGPT-4? Has anyone ever heard of all these new AI apps? Why are they making a difference? And why are they relevant to us in the small business retail area?
Oh my goodness. Artificial intelligence is going to change life as we know it. It's not just small businesses and retailers and online retailers. Literally everybody will be affected by AI if they're not already.
So give me some specific examples. Why do I need to worry about AI at this point in time if I'm busy doing my day-to-day job? I've just got my website working. I've just got my shopping cart working. And now everyone's talking about AI. Why is it relevant to me?
Because it's going to make you much more profitable in your business is the bottom line. And the way it's going to do that is a variety of different means. But one of the most important, one of the things that you can jump onto straight away is you can increase your productivity tenfold. Literally, if you were to adopt some of the AI tools right now, in terms of how you run your business, it can really help you work much smarter, not harder.
So Kevin, as we just saw from that little clip with Miranda, the key point here is AI gives you the chance to work smarter. And I have to say, for me, that's been my big interest in AI because I've been using AI tools for a few years now. I've been using Descript to do transcriptions, and you can now do some basic editing with it. We've used it for the transcription of the Road to Online Retail since we first started. And some of my tools, such as Adobe, they've got AI now embedded in some of their functions. And yes, as we were talking about ChatGPT, oh my goodness, it is such a good assistant to have for things like scripting, and there's other ones for storyboarding. And for me, what it's doing is it's just making me more productive. It's like having a really good staff to hand that you know would give you a decent response, and then you use your own brain to modify the responses and make it work for what you're doing. That's how I found it. What about retailers? Where are they seeing the key benefits?
So with AI, what we're seeing is with smaller retailers who are light on their feet, they are able to have the same productivity and quality of thought processes. Remember, good marketing is about thought. It's really about thought. So that the quality of thought and thought processes as speedily as the largest players in their sector. So you can go to agencies that are paid a lot of money, who do good work, by the way, big fan of agencies, do a lot of work, a lot of money, but you can have 85%, 90% of their creativity faster, generally speaking, than they can churn it out because you've got an interface between the client service guys and the client. That's number one. Number two is you're doing it from your home. So your cost base is significantly smaller. I am staggered by Amazon Web Services forcing their employees back to work in offices. This is Amazon Web Services. They provide their technology in server farms all over the world. And they're saying to their employees, you've got to go back to the office. Now, thankfully, God bless you all, 30,000 Amazon Web employees put a petition in and said, no, we're not going back. So Amazon have now agreed they don't have to go back. But what it looks like Amazon are doing is all new hires. They're saying you've got to work the office. Now, I think that's something to do with the fact that there is so much money invested in head office space for retailers and for large companies that the property management guys are saying, hey, we've spent all this money. We've either got to get out or you've got to get them back. At the same time, local government is saying, I need you back in to your offices because I've invested in massively in infrastructure, public transport and road systems to bring you from your suburbs to work. So we don't need to do those things if we're small retailers. We can leave our cost base as low as it is. It just gets getting better. Our access to fast broadband just gets better and better. So it really is a big leap. But remember, the big retailers have access to capital and can open stores that we can't do as quickly, and they can reach across their existing store networks to invest and give them great experiences in those store networks.
So Kevin, just changing direction a tiny bit, I just wanted to cover another area where I've been using AI, which is with blogging and writing some content for my website. I've been thinking about what I want it to say, giving it inputs, and then when it generates the text, which comes out in seconds and is amazing, I then go through, rewrite it, and put my own tone on it, because I've been concerned about what the search engine optimization aspects might be if you stick straight AI results up. I thought it's worth asking Miranda about that.
So when it comes to SEO, artificial intelligence lets us perform on a completely new level. Because as you just pointed out, we can now output blogs very quickly. But, and here's the but, we need to be making sure that we've amended those blogs according to our own voice and our own personalized comments and inputs. Don't just let ChatGPT spit out a blog for you and just chuck it online. That's not the way to do it. And in that instance, you could potentially get picked up for using artificial intelligence to have produced it. But my advice would be you're going to tailor it and add your own comments and input, personalize it.
Which is what I did.
Yeah. And then you're going to put that onto your website. But here's the key thing. You still need two other factors if you really want to make the most of that opportunity. One is you have to know what you're doing with search engine optimization. Now, that's something that we cover in the Digital Marketing Essentials course. So we teach small business owners how they can do that themselves and then not have to spend money and waste money on an agency doing that for them.
Because you know your business better than anyone else.
Correct. So you would be able to do your own search engine optimization on the blogs that you've just used AI to help you to produce. This is still a very speedy process once you know what you're doing. And then the other factor to that is you still need to know and have some kind of content strategy or content plan for that output that you're going to be putting out. So AI can help you do social posts, it can help you make videos, it can help you write blogs, but it's still a good idea to have thought through who is your audience and what content do you need to be producing in what kind of structure to reach those people.
What do you think small business retailers should be thinking about?
Right now, I would say AI. I'm just huge on that because I think if you don't move now, you're going to get left behind. And as Kevin's just been saying, that's how you level the playing field. And I'm not just talking about AI in terms of how you market as a small business. I'm talking about thinking about how can you use this to help you with supply chain, with predictive analytics, with being able to personalize for your shoppers, fraud detection. There's a whole pile of different things that AI can help small businesses really improve upon. Mm-hmm.
So I guess, Kevin, the other thing that's really handy here is it's actually giving back to the small business owners time.
And that time can be used for the things that do still consume time manually. I've still got perhaps to pick, pack and dispatch. I've still got to print off labels. If I'm partnering, I've got to set up drop ship labels for my partners, which can be done with Shopify Plus and Shopify. I just need to touch on that. Things like dropship, people talk about dropship. So I have 1,000 SKUs in my store, but there's another 200 that I love and can curate and I'd like to sell to my shoppers. But they belong to somebody else in somebody else's warehouse. Back in the day, they'd have to ship them to me. I'd pack them and ship them at the shopper's home. Ironically, in some of those cases, the shopper lived within 10 miles of the place they'd originated from my partner supplier. Dropshipping was hard work. Now with Shopify Plus, as long as your supplier, your partner, has got Shopify Plus, bang, you're away. You never have to touch the product. Helps the planet, helps cost, helps speed of delivery, helps service. And that's come from just that saving of time. So you can then spend your time curating, looking at things that you want to bring in to give to your shoppers. I love to wave my arms around because I get excited about this stuff because this is what it's about. When somebody goes out and curates and brings in beautiful stuff for shoppers like me, and I like their store, it makes my life better. And the more time you can do that, we do have to travel physically. We need to get back out to India and into Vietnam and look at what's happening in China. And we need to get to amazing places in Oregon and incredible places in the north of Scotland to say, I want those things. I want to take those things from artisans and put them on my site. So that's a really good use of time. We can't stop curating. We can't stop buying. We can't stop being merchants. We have to go and see those things and touch them.
Actually, I've just myself entered the retail market by doing some print-on-demand stuff because I wanted to play around with some software and I thought about print-on-demand. And so my photography and designs, it's been fun.
Fantastic. And have you enjoyed the journey?
Yeah, loved it. Absolutely loved it. I've not made a penny out of it, but hey, I've loved the journey so far, but it's an interesting challenge. But it just shows how quickly things change, doesn't it? The idea of doing that a few years ago wasn't there. My reason for doing it was I just was having a little think one day and was amusing myself with stupid dad jokes and thought, why should share these with the world?
that's curation. Anyway. Curation. So somewhere out there are people who would love your dad jokes. You've just got to find them. I'm one of them, obviously, but... And your daughter. Yeah. So there's me and your daughter. Tess, no. You, me, and Tess. We're like your audience.
You tell me you have to niche everything down. I think my niche is just a bit too small. It's a niche of one. So anyway.
No, it may not be. So across Australia, 25 million people, soon to be 26 and a half, 25 million people that you can find 25,000. That's a lot of mugs. That's a lot of T-shirts.
I've got a lovely golf hole-in-one customized mugs. If you get a hole-in-one in your golf, I can give you a mug that says I've joined the golf hole-in-one club with where you did it, the date, etc. But again, it's such a niche. How do you find these people? There's one in 14,000 shots to get a hole-in-one. Maybe I'm niching too much, Kevin. What do you think?
Let's give it a go. Let's not die wondering. Let's do it.
So, Kevin, we started this by talking about the fact that we're into the third age of retail. But what's the balance? What's changing? What's going on? So the best of the physical retailers that are now doing $1 billion to 65 stores and not 75 stores, are they getting better margins? Are they getting better profitability?
Yes, I think what's happened is if we swing back to the pure physical retailers, they've cleaned shop. They've cleaned shop. They've sat down with their landlord and said, I can't afford this. And by the way, the six store openings I had slated with you, they're gone. I need to shut four of them. But the ones I have, I want to renegotiate the leases. I'll give you longer leases, more security, for less dollars per square meter, dollars per square foot, and I'm going to invest in them. And some of the numbers that we're hearing for CapEx investment, capital expenditure, fixtures and fittings are mind-numbing. $11 million for an Hermes store. The American Dream Mall, just breathtaking. Double-story luxury store. The global CEO of LVMH, one of the largest luxury brands in the world, flies in and goes, I want another. This is just amazing. So we're seeing that. We're seeing real attention to detail. We're back to amazing things with the retail trifecta where we're able to create amazing environments with really well-trained staff and then have that seamless interaction. Back in the day, the seamless transaction was I actually bought it in the store and took it with me. But the seamless now is, hey, listen, they'll be at home tomorrow if you want or the day after, or come and collect it because you've already bought it. It's just waiting for you. These are the things. Retail's gone into physical retail's gone into a whole new sector where a whole new phase where the best of the best used to be good. Now the best can be really good. The top 25%, 30% of retailers now on the planet can be really amazing places and worth the drive. Remember, we've got a lot of empty car parks. Paco did a great thing, Paco Underhill, talking about car parking spaces. What's more American than a 2,000 lot American parking lot outside a big store? And they're empty. So he said, guys, listen, if you got that much real estate out there, get your team members to park in the car parks. Don't put them around the back anymore. Put them at the front. It's like when we do restaurants, put them on the front tables. We need to know people here. There's a lot of things that we're learning. We're coming back again, but there's a real energy back in retail. There's a real energy back in retail.
So that actually brings me onto another question. So we started our first course was about what you call the retail trifecta, the three things that every physical retailer needs to get right. Our second course was how you bring the best of that into online retail in the e-commerce world, those lessons that give the shopper experience the edge to your site. And that's also where we brought Miranda in to help us then take the learnings that you were giving into the practical world of digital marketing. Do those lessons of physical retail still apply in physical retail? What happens in digital? Has anything adjusted here?
So I jumped on a Linktree link to across all of our content, Nige, and I was busy. Oh my word. So it used to be when we set up these courses, it really was about giving smaller business owners the best resources that the large retailers had. I look at our resources now, and if you're working in a retailer in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, you need to look at our resources. Some of the resource that Miranda's put up across apps and across technology, it's outstanding. It doesn't matter if you're Walmart.com or you're a small country retailer. It's a step change. I staggered. You guys done a great job of ringing together. I'm dashing around doing things. And once in a while, I immerse myself. I always, in all my businesses, I sell along the top until I go deep. And I go deep because I have to go deep. Or I go deep that I have the time to go deep. And I went deep. And I went, the stuff you've put together. So I think that's a big step change for the road to retail and the road to online retail. People working in retail, this is as much relevance to Walmart.com or Macy's or Harrods or Magasin du Nord or Carrefour or Tesco or anybody on the planet if you work in retail. The resource is just good. going back to the stuff we've done with retail, we've done it a long time, Nigel. We've been doing retail a really long time. And those things that we learned and we talked about, well-trained team members that can communicate well and amazing environments and really easy ways to pay, they haven't gone away. They don't go away. They're being done in a better way because we've now got all of the amount of stores with electronic shelf labels now. So the pricing is in real time. So they can link their physical and their online. It's fantastic. I've watched them walking in Aldi and Lidl, and I'm walking into stores all around the world now. I'm walking into, I was one on Fifth Avenue, which was a traditional tech retailer. I can't remember which one it was, but they've had the ASL there for now for 3 years. That gives the store staff, the team members, the chance to talk to shoppers, not fighting with printers and printing out and chopping up with scissors in 2023. Shelf labels, it's crazy. So there's a lot of good things that are happening, but I was worried, my voice when we were talking about retail during COVID, I was genuinely concerned that we were going to lose a lot of retailers that just wouldn't come back. And those that have survived have used the time, the vast majority, not all, the vast majority have used their time really well. And I'm really very optimistic about physical retail now, augmented, supported equally by online.
The other thing we obviously need to touch on is the other pressure that retailers are having currently is that tiny thing called inflation and price. What's happening there? Does everyone just shove their prices up time and time again? What's going on with that?
Yeah, the pricing issue is everything. So I run an advisory board for 7 Australian companies, and they're private companies. And I talked about the fact that in a business sense, in an academic sense, in an operating rhythm sense, we talk about our cost base. We look at it going up. Our freight costs have gone up. Our cost per hour of people in our businesses has gone up. And we take price advances because we have to. Otherwise, we stop making money. And we do it in an academic, we do it in a very thoughtful way, a conscious way, if you will. We then leave that meeting and we go to a store and we go, how much? That cost how much? And then it becomes real to us as a shopper. I've been renting with Hertz cars now for 25 years. I'm a gold 5-star, whatever. Hertz rented me a car in Sydney. Oh, great. It was a Kia Carnival. So it was bigger than a car. And they charged me just shy of $800 for 48 hours to collect from Sydney Airport. They charged me $400 and something for 48 hours in a Toyota Corolla, which I'm led to believe is not an expensive vehicle. And the shift in that is people like Toyota themselves, they bought the KO software. It's a fleet management software. And what they've done is they've laid it over their dealer networks around the world.
Kevin, I've just looked it up and it's actually Kinto, kinto.com.au.
So I can now go and get a Toyota that's sitting on a dealer's lot. It might be a secondhand vehicle that's newly come back. It may be a demonstrator. But if that vehicle's on the lot, I can rent it for between half an hour and 4 days for a very specific price. Click. So it's basically an app. It was a fleet management software that they bought in the UK, and they've been really clever about turning their idle, if you will, vehicles on the dealer lots into a source of revenue for the dealers, and at the same time helping the planet, because if they do it, we don't need as many cars sitting on Hertz and Europe Car and Budgets and lots. So that's the thing. I think there's a lot of things that are happening where the big end of town, if they have got these sunk cost bases and these crazy costs of doing business, are going to see people come in underneath them. And that's classic marketing. When margins get too high, when prices get too high because costs are too high. So let's be clear about this. Sometimes the margins are great and that attracts people in. Sometimes the margins are good, but it's because the costs are so high. And if you can knock out the costs and get the same margin, hey, you pick up market share. So I think we're seeing a lot of embedded legacy retailers and companies. It's all retail. Paco says that. It's all retail. They're being challenged in a way they were never before. Dissipated balance sheets of little players all getting together and being able to compete with them, or dissipated balance sheets of Toyota harnessing their dealer network. That's not Toyota's balance sheet that's being worked there. That's 500, 5,000 independent dealers' balance sheets being harnessed to be able to provide a great service at a lower cost. So these are, it's not all great, but that cost thing, Nigel, you're spot on. We can't continue on with freight rates going up 17%. We can't continue on with steel costs going up 30%. We can't, it's not tenable. This is just not tenable. So we have to find better ways of doing it, and many are.
So price is a common issue, but what's it got to do with our digital, our third age?
I love Toyota dealers. I really do love them. I think the guys have been doing it well for a long time. the experience in a Toyota dealership is a physical retail experience. I can now digitally connect with that and be taken to one of their dealerships. And guess what I might do? I might walk into their dealership. When I'm on KO,
Kevin, Kinto,
they can serve up digital offers for me from their dealer network within my local community. So this is where Fidgetal comes in, and it's addressing price. We don't need price increases if, like Macy's, we've got more people walking to their stores. Yet when Toys R Us went into that, 450 store-in-stores now in America, happened in less than 6 months. The main store in New York, the CEO went, you're right, this is just a footfall. There are people queuing up outside on day one. There's a great video of just, because every day Macy's, the store staff welcome you into the store in the main door, which is cool, part of history. And they just streamed upstairs to the new Toys R Us store. And then they looked at their numbers and they said every category, every adjacent category, children's wear, baby wear, every adjacent category in that store increased. Our footfall increased in the stores. It's our fixed cost base. We need more people in there. So they rolled it out to 450 stores. And I think that's what we're seeing. The power of brands hasn't gone away, and we will see a lot more amazing brands. The company that owns the Toys R Us brand is WHP Global out of New York, and that's who I met with on Fifth Avenue. Beautiful offices with an amazing balcony over Fifth Avenue. And they just bought Bonobos, which is a cool clothing brand, which was owned by Walmart.com. They've looked at a number of brands, which I won't tell you about, but they knock those brands back. I'd love them to get the brands, but they were in territories where it's difficult. But we're seeing this. We're seeing brands put inside existing physical retailers and being put inside existing digital retailers to create footfall, to create clickfall into those places. And that's when the Fidgetal's coming in, because you don't need to raise cost if you put more volume through your stores. You don't need more stores. You don't need more cost. You just slide lots of warm bodies in through your stores and they spend money there.
And I guess that's the point. So to thrive in this new era, retailers must embrace AI technology that aligns with their business objectives, which is what have you been talking about, but also the customer expectations. That's the key thing here, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the key thing here. It's about harnessing the things that are available to you, irrespective if you're paid $500,000 a year and have been with a major retail for 30 years of your life, or you've just started out in your own store like D-Lights up in far north Queensland. The access to that AI is absolutely equal. You have that competitive advantage if you have the mindset to do it and you create and you're true to your brand values and all those good things. But that's the thing. It's a leveler. And everybody needs it. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs it. It is not a thing that the big end of town need to make them more profitable and more productive. It's a thing the small end of town needs to allow them to grow and deliver great service with a small number of people.
Yeah. And I guess if you can harness all this stuff, the retailers can create immersive shopper experiences. They can optimize their operations, and they can gain a competitive edge in this ever-evolving retail environment. Kevin, I think that's a great place for us to stop today. Thank you for your time, as always, and thank you to Miranda for her time too. Now, if you'd like to find out more about the Road to Online Retail and our courses, go to theroadtoretail.com. where you'll also find the tab of resources, which is all the things, all the AI tools and everything else that you might find interesting to flick through to see how you can save yourselves time and become a lot more efficient.
So I think it's important, Nigel, on that resource is well researched. We've now worked with Miranda for some time. I've worked alongside her on project. She's whip smart. She's current. Yeah. So I think for our listeners, if you're working in a big retailer or you're in a small retail, are you current? Have you immersed yourself in all the different resources that we have? She has, and she's distilled them down to things that she believes, on balance, irrespective of the price, irrespective of anybody else's views, that she believes is worthwhile for your businesses. Have a look. You won't waste any time.
Yep, and we'll be amending it as this environment is changing by the second, so we'll be amending it regularly. So hopefully we'll keep it as current as we can. So thank you, everyone. We will be back in 2 weeks' time, and we have made a commitment to at least 8 episodes in this particular series, so hang on and learn a lot more, hopefully. So I hope you've enjoyed it. And don't forget to like and subscribe. Always appreciated. Thank you.